Matthew 28, good to see you today. Matthew 28. I wanted to hand that out to you, just briefly cover something that a lot of people are confused about. But looking at this, now look at that calendar I gave to you. That's Nisan 33 AD. That is the year that our Lord, we believe, died. Now, 33, you understand the time frame or the chronology there is a little bit off. We're not exactly sure what year he died. It could be within 5 years or so. So just for example, 33 AD. Now, a lot of people today believe Jesus died on Friday, right? We know that. A lot of people celebrate that. But I want you to notice this. Notice on there the verse I have, Matthew 12, 40. Jesus himself makes the prophetic statement. It says, "For as Jonas," or Jonah, "was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, three nights in the heart of the earth." Now, 3 days and three nights doesn't take rocket science. That's 72 hours. And if you go Friday, the most you can squeeze out of Friday is what? 48 hours, maybe, right? So either Jesus was wrong, the Bible's not accurate, or something's off. Now we got to come back to Scripture. Counting back from Sunday, that makes crucifixion to be somewhere Wednesday, doesn't it? Now thinking about this, we see here. Now, John 19:31, this is something that people get hung up on. It says the next day was the Sabbath. So people assume, okay, well, he had to have died on Friday because the next day, Saturday, was a Sabbath. Well, John 19:31, it clarifies and it says it was a high Sabbath. Now, during the Passover week, if you notice with me, there were several high Sabbath days besides the regular or traditional sabbatical or Sabbath day on Saturday, right? So what they're referring to the next day, the Sabbath, is that Thursday. So he could have legitimately passed or been crucified on Wednesday, right? Very interesting to look at, isn't it? Now, John 12, on the 8th there, he comes into Bethany. The 9th, the next day, he makes his formal entry into Jerusalem, and he presents himself as the king to the Jewish nation, says, "I'm your king, here you are, I present myself to you." Now, he knew already, we know, that he would be rejected and crucified. Again, we said last time, he came the first time as a suffering lamb. He's coming the second time, called the second advent, as a roaring lion, and he's going to take care of business. But he came in, offered, they rejected him. The 10th, he returned to Jerusalem, made himself available to the people until they crucified him. We believe on that Tuesday evening, as we observed last Tuesday, the Lord's table, the Lord's Passover, he observed the Passover, the table, with his apostles in the upper room, only to then, what, go out into the garden, be betrayed, they arrest him, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify, I hope that's helpful to you. You can take that home with you, put it on your fridge or in your study or something, and think about that, because a lot of people are confused about when and the chronology of it and what took place. You may be saying, "I don't really care, I've never thought about that," but I thought it'd be interesting to cover with you. But again, coming back to Scripture, Scripture will always clarify for us the truth, okay? I know somebody may have told you growing up or you believed a certain way growing up, but remember, come back to the Scripture. It will clarify for you. Now, we're back in Matthew 28. All right. Now, we see here the wonderful story unfolding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. I've entitled it this morning. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." And this is a wonderful verse you'd want to underline in your Bible. "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, lo, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." We see here the wonderful story, we'll continue in a minute, but he's risen. As we think about today, the wonderful opportunity to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, I hope you take to heart that and think about all that he's done. If he did not rise from the dead, one theologian said, then our Christianity is in vain. It's fake. It's a fraud. We're meeting here as a social club this morning. We're meeting together, though, today because we believe he's risen. And I hope you believe that as well. As we think about the Lord's life leading up to this point, he had repeatedly told the apostles, I will be, what, crucified, they'll bury me, and I'll rise again. At least on at least two occasions, if not three occasions, he told them that. Were they listening? No. Because they come to the sepulcher that morning, and his body's gone, and they start to freak out, don't they? Where is he? What's going on? If you've taken him, remember, she turns to the supposed gardener, which was Jesus himself. If you've taken his body and put it somewhere, let me know and I'll take it. And he says, to the effect, it's I, it's me. You think about they did not heed the word of the Lord. And I want to emphasize that this morning. Are we heeding the Bible? Are you listening? Are you taking time in the scripture? Oh, I pray that you would be. Our time will soon be passed on this earth, isn't it? Our time will be done very soon, and we ought to be taking advantage of what you're doing. How are you spending your life? Taking the time. Now think about this. Wonderful thing to think about. First of all, I want you to notice several individuals here. First of all, there were those that were seeking the Lord. They were seeking the truth. Now, again, in verse 5, he says, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Which was crucified. Think about the little boy. I think I've told this joke before, so just laugh anyways. Okay, little boy was in an Easter play, and he was just going at, you know, and his line finally came up, and the light shined right on him. And he stood, and he froze, like a deer in headlights. You ever been there before? And he froze. And he forgot his line. He had one little line. One line, and he forgot it. And the people down on the front row, they were mouthing it to him. And he's like, it was dark. He couldn't see him, you know. I can't hear. I don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went on, and he thought, I know it. And he said, he's not here. He's in prison. I know it. And they were going, no. Cut the mic, you know. Which thing that is not us sometimes. We get a little bit deer in headlights. I don't know what to say, do. These folks were just like that, weren't they? They got into the situation and went, I don't know what to do. I thought he was going to be our king, and they murdered him. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus? What did they tell Jesus? Well, you haven't heard what's going on. We had a man come into town, Jesus of Nazareth. He was supposed to be our king, but they took and killed him. Now we don't know what to do. And he rebuked them, didn't he? You fools and slow of heart to believe all that what? The prophets spoke of, the word of God. Notice the seeking. You may be seeking something today. You don't even know what. I've talked to people before. They're seeking the truth, but they don't know what the truth is. I just want to know the truth. I'm sick of the games. I'm sick of the trying to find some peace in my life through the bottle and through the pills and through the other thing. I'm looking for the truth. My friends, can I encourage you this morning? The truth is right in front of us as Pilate. Jesus Christ stood in front of Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and Pilate had the audacity to say, what is truth? When truth in body form, incarnate, Jesus Christ stood before him. And he said, what's truth? Isn't that the world today, though? The world today says, what is truth? Where is truth? We say, it's right in front of you. And they say, nah, no thanks. I don't want it. Now notice they were seeking themselves. They didn't even really know. They'd heard the message. They'd read even maybe in the gospel and heard the message from the Lord himself, but they really didn't know. You ever been seeking something and you just couldn't find it? You just couldn't find what you're looking for. I often I chuckle at that. You ever lose something and the person will always say, well, where did you leave it last? And you go, well, if I knew that, I wouldn't be looking for it. Where'd you leave it last? And can I encourage you, where did you leave it last for you? Seek the Lord. Look for him. Today you can seek and find true joy, true peace, true fulfillment. Look for the Savior. Look for him. Seeking, notice, first of all, in the wrong place. Seeking in the wrong place comes when we fail to follow the word of God. He says in verse 6, he's not here, for he's risen, as he said. You might want to underline that. As he said. I think there'd be a lot of people, judgment day, when we stand before Jesus Christ. And he's going to say, Tim, why did you not? And I'm going to go, I didn't know. And he's going to point to the book. The Bible says clearly in the book of Revelation, we will be judged out of this book. There's a sharp two-edged sword that comes out of the mouth of our Lord and Savior. That meaning the Bible will be judged. He will judge us through the book. As he said, he'll say, I said, I told you, I wrote it down, and we have a wonderful book. Seeking in the wrong place comes when we fail to heed His word. Luke 24, again, let me read it to you, verse 6. He is not here, but He is risen. And then He says, remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words. Oh, yeah, now I remember. Isn't that sad in the life of a believer for me? When we know what to do, but we fail to heed it. And notice He says we must follow the Word of God. Seek it. Look for it. Seeking, secondly, in the wrong place comes by, in the right place comes by heeding the Word, obviously. Heeding the Word. Notice what He says, come and see. Come and see. The direction given. Today, we don't have an angel directing us just as this incident was, but we have the precious Word of God. Come and see. Heed the Bible. We tell people often when we share the gospel or invite them to church, we tell them, read your Bible. We used to sing the song in Sunday school, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, right? And you think about it, it's so true. The greatest theology is in some of those little songs because it's true. He says, come and see. Take a step of faith. Can I encourage you today with that? Take a step of faith. Open your Bible up at home. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. Take time in the Word of God. I know you're busy, you folks in here. Every one of you, I look around. You're extremely busy. Day in and day out, working hard. But if you prioritize the Word of God in your life, I'm telling you right now, you will not lose out. It will benefit you. It will only help your life. It will only help you. Now notice they're listening to the angel. They're heeding His Word. They're obedient to the Word. They come and they actually hear and see, and the truth is revealed. As we're obedient to the Word, we see the truth. Joshua 22, verse 5, he says, take diligent heed to do the commandment of the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Joshua says, be careful and take diligence to study the Word and know the Word and know what Moses commanded you and the Lord commanded you. Why? Because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. They were entering into, as you know, the promised land, and they were living among the heathen, the unbelieving. Today we live in a wicked world. We know that. Violence and vile and sick things go on in our world today, which, by the way, is coming to an end very soon when our Lord returns. But we need to know the Word of God. We need to know it. Just the other day, somebody questioned me on something scripturally, and off the top of my head, I couldn't come up with an answer. You ever been there before? Can I get back with you on that one? Let me study it for myself and get back to you on that. And we ought to know the Word. Not everything. We're not to be an expert theologian in everything, but we ought to know the Word. Now notice they were seeking. They were obedient to the Word. Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. Cleanse your ways. The cleansing agent in your life internally is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. It'll change you. It'll cleanse you. The Lord said, seek, ye shall find. Seek. We ought to seek in the right place. You know where to go. It's the Word of God. I think about this often. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. He'll guide you unto all truth, show you the way. You ever wonder how some people are always ahead of the curve in life? They don't seem like they never miss out. They never get gypped or something in finances or they never go, they're always ahead of, they're in the Word of God. They know the Word. They know the God of the Word. Wonderful thing to know. Let me hasten here. Number two, they're seeing, not only seeking, but then they see. Come and see, he says, where the Lord lays. You ever gone to the doctor before and had to have that checkup done on your eyes and they put that chart 356 feet away from you? No, they put that chart on the wall and they go, now close one eye and tell me what to read those letters. And you fumble and mumble through it, right? Some of you have good sight. Some of you may not have very good sight. But I fake it most of the time. I don't have very good sight. I squint my eyes. But I hate that thing, don't you? And they always make you, they try and get you to read it from a distance. Or you go to the DMV and you got the new, have you been to there lately where you put your face in the thingy and you have to read the stuff? And last time I went and got my license renewed, I did that. And the girl went, And I went, what's that supposed to mean? She said, well, you didn't do too good, but you're good enough. I'll pass you on that. I'm like, well, thanks. Okay, good. I've seen people driving the other day. I saw an elderly lady. God bless her heart. She had to have been 90 years old, and she was this far from the steering wheel. And she, you know, and I drove by her, and, you know, I'm looking at her like, who gave her a license? Who renewed that? Bless her heart. Praise God. Please protect her. Okay. What do you think about it today? Seeing, do you see the word? Seeing is believing, so many people say, don't they? Seeing is believing. The calling, notice, comes to the Lord. Come and see. Several times in Scripture, there's a plea to come to Christ. Come. John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will what? Come to you. Come to you. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Isaiah 1, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them whiter than snow. Jesus is asking you, pleading with you to come to him. So often people think, oh, Jesus is a mystery. It's hard to find him. It's hard to seek him out. I don't know the truth. No, Jesus is right in front of us. And he's asking you to come. Come. Come on. Come on. Come home. I'm ready to accept you. That prodigal, great prodigal story of the young man rose from the pig pen and the slop. And he came out and he said, I don't know what to do, but maybe I'll go home. And if my dad will just maybe make me just one of his servants, that'll be fine. I know I deserve that punishment. And he comes, and before he gets halfway, what happens? The dad's already out there with his arms open. Son, I've been waiting for you. That's our Savior. That's our Lord. I've been waiting. Come. Come. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And then Hebrews 4:16, therefore let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. Notice they went, they saw. Verse 9, if you continue in our text here. Now notice he says, and they went to tell his disciples, as they went to tell. Behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. They came and beheld him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Can you imagine these fellas as they run back? Where's his body? We don't know what to... And here's Jesus. All hail! And they probably said a few words themselves. It's you. It's you. He said, be not afraid. You remember on the boat when the storm was arising, and Jesus came walking on the sea? And they were afraid because they thought it was a ghost or a spirit. What did he say? Be not afraid. It's me. It's me. You and I know that Jesus Christ is seeking us. He wants us to come to him. But Jesus comes to us. I love it. I love it. As they're going, he meets them and he says, it's me. Do you know when you seek the truth today and you study the Bible and search for the truth for yourself, Jesus Christ will come to you, and he'll answer your prayers, and he'll hear you, and he'll answer and bless you and restore inside of you whatever it is that is broken. He wants to bless you today. The confirmation. See where the Lord lay. Now notice the past tense. See where the Lord lay. Where he used to lay. Where he was laying. Right? Remember in school, I always hated that. Lay, lie. I never got that. See where he lay. Where he used to lay. Amen? That's where he was. He's not here anymore. And when you seek for the Savior, you'll find him true every single time. Every single time. In another gospel account, it says that they looked inside the tomb and they saw his grave clothes laying by themselves, and then the napkin that was put about his face over off to the side, folded neatly. I have a book in my library at home. I call it my library. I got like two shelves, but my library. I got a book. It's called The Folded Napkin. You ever read that book before? You ought to borrow it if you haven't read it. But when you, in the Oriental mindset of the biblical times, when you folded a napkin when you were eating at the table, you had to get up and use the restroom or go do take care of business, then come back. If you folded your napkin up and left it on the table, it meant you were coming back. But if you crumbled it up and threw it on your plate, that meant you're done. The waiter or whoever, servant, would come and clean up your spot. Jesus left the napkin that they put about his face in burial. He folded it neatly and put it on the side. A great indication saying, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. You and I know that he's coming back very soon. I pray that you're ready for that. But we think about here the confirmation. The confirmation, as you think about, it goes on and even those I find so interesting. Let's jump ahead. Notice verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Notice this. But some doubted. They saw Jesus reincarnate. They saw Jesus resurrected. Resurrected. And they doubted, didn't they? They doubted. I mean, even as you recall, Saul, when Samuel was brought back and it scared him half to death, you remember that, by the witch at Endor? I mean, he even had enough sense to know this is the real guy here. You know. But they saw Jesus Christ and they did what? Isn't that our world today? Do you know the Word of God, sir? Do you know the Bible? Do you know there's a heaven and a hell? Do you know that Jesus is coming again? Yeah, I don't know about all that. You know, I don't know about that. We need to be living our lives every day to show people the truth, the way, realizing that there's some people that will doubt. And by the way, don't burden yourself with this. You're not going to save everybody. There's people, even in your own family, that are not going to listen. And you'll beat yourself senseless trying to reach them and get them in church and get them saved. You're not going to do it. It has to be the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? And we do our part. We live our lives for Him, a pure and holy life, and let God do the rest. When you realize today Jesus was not just a good man, He was not just a prophet, He was not just a wise, encouraging man that came and taught good lessons to people. No, He was very God manifested in the flesh. Amen, wasn't He? Very God manifested in the flesh. Proved by His power and proved ultimately by the grave that He defeated. He defeated. Now notice thirdly, and I'll wrap it up, the sending. He sends them forth. Now go back to verse 7. He's not here. Come see. Then he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. There's a commission given to every one of us today, isn't there? To go. Come and see. Come and know him for yourself. And then go. A lot of people get that backwards. They'll go without actually knowing the Savior. And ends up, what happens? They create hypocrites, and people look at them as a hypocrite, and they're judgmental and all these things. We need to know the Savior first and then go. And you and I need to be careful about that. We've got to know the Word. We've got to know Him, and He'll send us out. He'll commission us. Notice this eyewitness account was not only for these men, but for the proclamation of the truth. It doesn't say, come and see where the Lord lay. Now go in peace, go in comfort, go in heart and mind. No, it says, go and tell others. We're not saved to sit, sulk, and sour. We're saved to go. We're sent out, aren't we? To share. And I want to encourage you to do that. Go and tell. Some of you mentioned this morning, you went out this week and attempted to tell people the gospel. Give people the gospel. Hand them a gospel tract. Hand them a brochure. Tell them about the wonderful news of the resurrected Savior. And by the way, God will bless you for that. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He'll bless your life. And you think about, He sent us out. Notice the personal commission, go. Go quickly. There's not a lot of time left. Hosea says, go now. Your time is short, isn't it? Folks, remember back maybe in high school, maybe even before that. Time flies, doesn't it? And then you have children, and it goes even quicker, doesn't it? And you remember when they were 2 and 3. Now they're up in years, and you're thinking about all that, how fast time goes, how quickly time goes, and your body reminds you of that every day, doesn't it? And God bless you for being here today. But He says, go quickly. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We're not sure and assured of any moment of our lives. We're walking on eggshells, literally, this world is. They don't know when they're going to pass. They don't know that, and you, my friend, need to know. He says, go quickly, tell others. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering, that not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will, notice that, willing. His will is that not any should perish. The people go to a Christless eternity in hell because of their own. People say, why did God send people to hell? He doesn't. People send themselves. They refuse and reject the Word. His will is that not any should perish. Let me hurry here. Notice it's commenced. Tell that He's risen. Now from this point on, in every single one of their lives that are recorded in Scripture, we know John and James, Matthew, we know Paul, we know Peter, Thomas, all of them. They went forth with one message. What was it? Right here. Go and tell that He's risen. They went to a martyr's death, every single one of them, telling this. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I do. He rose from the dead? Yes, I do. And they all were martyred because of that. My friends, today we have big shoes to fill, but we ought to go forth. It says, run, make them know. He is who He said He was. Can you imagine that? As they were running to tell the other apostles, the other people, the other group of people, about 150 of them, it says in the book of Acts, they were gathered together. They all thought in their minds, he was who he said he was. He is who he said he was. He really is the Son. He really did rise from the dead. We see that today. Let me jump ahead here. Paul explains later. In chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he says, again, as we've studied, his pedigree, gives his background, gives all his accolades. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. He says then in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He's saying this is the goal, the purpose of my life. When I realize all that I have and all the great degrees you have on your wall or your office, those things are great and grand, but you think about none of it matters. What matters is eternity, doesn't it? Eternity. We're sharing today the wonderful truth with people. Jesus is risen. He's alive and well. Oh, the fearful and depressed scene at the cross. Just a chapter before, they were standing at the foot of the cross, Mary and Martha and another Mary, and they were there with John the apostle at the foot of the cross, weeping and crying. Their beloved Son and Savior, which they thought was a Savior, was dying, right? And Jesus said, here's your, behold thy mother, behold thy Son. And all of those things he said, how depressed they were. And they took his body down, and Joseph of Arimathea came and took, and he had his own sepulcher that he had bought and paid for, and he put him in there. And Nicodemus came and helped and wrapped his body in what's called swaddling clothes, the same fabric he was born with. A wonderful picture for us. He was born to die. He was born to die. We know that. But they buried his body, the depressed, nothing there, ready to just live their lives as assuming that he was maybe not what he was. They made a mistake. Lo and behold, on that wonderful Sunday morning, she came to the tomb and it was empty. What a joy, what a direction change. And there's a direction change for you today, my friend. You may have emptiness, loneliness, bitterness in your heart. You come to Jesus Christ today, and what a direction change it gives. Why? The grave is empty. The tomb is empty. We serve a risen Savior today. Don't be ashamed of that. This world's going to put you down for reading your Bible and serving God. And they say, well, what do you believe? You say, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. They're going to put you down. They're going to ridicule you and mock you. We know that. You stand firm. Why? We have an infallible, preserved Bible today that tells us true. We know it and we believe it. John 7:37. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And drink. He has the water to completely fill us and meet our need. Yesterday, I got a bright idea to take a little bike ride with the kids around the city here, and I was dying. It was a bad idea. I was just so thirsty. And I got back and I got, did I get a soda pop? No. Did I get some juice? No. Give me that ice cold water, right? And I got that and just chugged that water. That's what I want. My body craves the water. You ever feel that way? And Jesus said, you come to me and I'll give you that what you need, that itch inside of you that nothing else can itch, can scratch. That's the Word. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. You need that. That's what it'll do for you, for those. Now we see it. The resurrection's for our justification, Romans 4:25. It's for our reconciliation, Romans 5:10. It's for our salvation, Romans 10:9. We know that. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God, what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must believe, my friend, in this resurrection. You must believe it. You must know that you don't serve a risen Savior. You believe in a raised Savior. Do you know him today? Do you know him today as your personal Savior? I pray that you do. It's not hard to understand. The gospel is the most simple thing to understand. A child can understand it. Jesus himself said that. But you need to accept him. And I think and I believe most of you are saved here today. But I pray you'd go forth today from this point. This year is a great mark in the year on our calendar. It's about springtime, a great year to start this year and go forth from here and propagate the truth and start living for him. Live for him. Put aside things. By the way, those things aren't worth it. Your life will soon be over. And what you do with this life, my life will soon be past. Are you living for Christ? Do you serve a risen Savior today? Yes, you do. Amen. We know it. We believe it. And I'm so thankful for it today. I am so thankful we serve a God. There today you go to India and you go to other places of that nature. They have over I believe it's 6 million different gods that they pray to. Can you imagine going there every day? They go there every morning to a shrine and pray, and they hope they pray to at least a God that'll hear their prayer. For a sick child, for someone dying of a disease, whatever it is. My friends, today we know those people need the gospel, but you and I serve a Savior who's risen, who's the truth, one. Are you keeping up with that? It's not hard to do. Keep up with the Lord. Stay focused. Can I encourage you? Get in your Bible this week. Spend time in prayer. It will be difficult to do, but you can do it. Why? It's the least we can do. Jesus Christ died for us, rose again. We ought to serve Him with the rest of our lives today. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. All right, I'll stop there today. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for a time this morning to just share Your Word. Father, we know most of these things, but we need a reminder that You died for our sins. We ask, Father, You do a great work in our lives and help us. As we look to You, we seek You, Lord. And when we seek, we'll find. We'll see that You're not there in that tomb, that You're a risen Savior. You are who You said You are. And Father, then we will go. We'll be sent out sharing the gospel with those around us. Help us to do our part, Lord. The very least we can do is live for You. Spend our days seeking You and Your will, asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. How we love and thank You for all that You've done, Lord, today. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, and amen.